There's always a buzz around Radio 4 as they prepare to name the big thinker who'll deliver the annual Reith Lecture Series. BH has a mole at the heart of Reith HQ, and we were reliably informed that they'd secured the services of the science broadcaster Maggie Philbin. You'll have shared our surprise as it was revealed that her moniker was merely being used as the code name for the real Reith lecturer, the pro-democracy activist and Dave Lee Travis fan Aung San Suu Kyi. Reith's loss is our gain, here delivering a lecture entitled Who Wants to Be an Engineer? The Real Maggie Philbin.
Thank you. 4 years ago, I asked a class of 13-year-olds if they could name a contemporary scientist, engineer or technologist. The only name they came up with was Einstein, except for one young boy who suggested Charles Cabbage. They weren't proud of that ignorance. They went on to explain that though they enjoyed going to places like the Science Museum, the visits left them none the wiser about what modern scientists, and in particular modern engineers, actually did. And the thing is, they don't know, their parents don't know, and nor do their teachers. And it's not surprising, because I'm willing to bet that even if you're a high-flying engineer at Google, you have only the haziest idea about what's going on at BMW or Virgin Trains. When I was 13, I wanted to be a vet or a doctor, because they were the only options visible to me. It's been my years as a technology reporter, whether barrel rolling across the sky in a Hawker Hunter trying out the latest anti-G suit, watching the delicate mesh of a stent expand to clear a blocked artery, or demonstrating the electric blanket that knew where your hot bits were. It's this which helped me appreciate the kaleidoscopic technology landscape and the myriad career opportunities available at every level. Like most teenagers, the ones I interviewed were fascinated by gadgets, and one boy suggested it would be helpful to have information on the packaging to tell them more about the inventors and the challenges they'd overcome. After all, as he said, even on adverts we see footballers, but we never see scientists. This was the reason I set up events where young people got to handle not only the world's shiniest technology, but most importantly, meet the engineers who created it. We cut through the clichés. Teenagers can see for themselves that it's possible to be an engineer and a woman, or a scientist and have a decent haircut. As they work on their own designs for the ultimate snowboard or a mobile phone application, they see why maths and physics are a passport to creativity and can help you develop very cool ideas. An ideals wall gives them the freedom to show off the technology they'd like to see at the Olympic Games in 2050. A drug that takes away all steroids and other drugs so no one can cheat, suggested Samantha and Fraser. Ben thought that the events could be made litter-free if, when packaging on food is removed, it's drawn towards a bin using magnetic particles. And Adam had a challenging thought. All ball events would be competed with an invisible ball to make it harder. The most valuable prizes are experiences. Last week, 15 winners spent a day learning about the technology behind 3D cameras and cinemas. They then watched a 3D film. And whenever they watch films in the future, it will be with completely different eyes. We talk endlessly about innovation, but we have to do more to inspire teenagers with fresh, accurate images of the contemporary workplace. The vast majority of jobs, even in the near future, will be applications of science, technology, engineering and maths. But at the moment, a generation sit in chains, shackled to the false hope of instant success and a magical belief that X Factor, the lottery or marrying a footballer will transform their lives. Steve Jobs says that innovation is just about joining the dots. It's down to all of us to help young people understand how the right knowledge and the right skills will help them to recognise those dots and give them the power to transform all our lives, not just their own.
Maggie Philbin, thank you very much. Our very own Reith lecture, thank you. To go back to where I began, Aung San Suu Kyi's first talk is broadcast this Tuesday morning at 9. And in fact, Reith lectures dating back to the 1940s are now available on the Radio 4 website. And it includes this, we thought you'd like to hear, the father of the atom bomb, Robert Oppenheimer.
A great discovery is a thing of beauty. And our faith, our binding, quiet faith, is that knowledge is good, good in itself.